Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Pure Vacations podcast. So I'm Dan Pratt, I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Pure One Group, and Wesley Baker is our CEO and founder of Pure One Group as well. And Pure One Group is the parent company that owns Pure Vacations, Pure One Travel, Ocean Fever, amongst many other things. So exactly. So I've come to the conclusion I actually only have two allergies, and it's a bit awkward when I have to fill in a form and it says what's your allergies, because one of them is ibuprofen and the other one is wild chipmunks.
They give out sticks and then you drag yourself up with a rope as well, and it's quite steep going up there.
But this is probably why it all went wrong then. So I did stroke it and I came, my arm came up in a massive rash.
But I remember saying to her, well, I'll run up Mount Vesuvius one day.
However, most people call me Manatee.
I just love your photographs, Dan, because your legs are always in.
It's always the same pose as well. I never know what to do with my arms.
Journey with us to the corners of the earth, where stories come alive and dreams take flight. From the bustling streets of Tokyo to the serene shores of Bora Bora, every destination has a tale, and we're here to share it. Brought to you by the man who's trekked the peaks, dived the depths, and explored the vast expanse of our beautiful world. Here's your captain for today's adventure, the seasoned traveler and the voice of voyages, Wesley Baker. And alongside Wesley is Dan Pratt.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Pure Vacations podcast. Within our podcast, obviously, we're here to entertain you, educate you, inspire you to travel. And we're obviously very conditioned travel experts here, and Wesley, who's a best-selling travel author as well, which we'll come on to a bit later. And if you did listen to our first episode, then thank you so much, and thank you so much for returning. And obviously you'll be aware of Wesley's book already. But like we said in the last episode, there's lots of different areas that we as a business cover. We look at pathways, which is historical and culture trips. We look at language journeys. We've got Ocean Fever, which is our surf. We've got wildlife. We've got safari. We've got naturist. We've got new age. We've got paranormal. And we've got corporate travel as well. But finally, we do have one special category, which we're going to be specifically talking about today, which is adventure. So Wesley's going to be sharing some really interesting, exciting stories and thoughts on that specifically. So if you do want to check out any of our written articles, we've got a whole bank of written articles, as well as the Pure Vacations podcast, which you're listening to now. We do have a website with lots of exciting stuff. So you can go to purevacations.com. That's purevacations.com and check out that. But in the meantime, I want to say hello to Wesley Baker. And we can start the conversation.
Hello, Dan. It's great to be back, actually. And I'm really excited about talking about this one, adventures. And also just to give the listeners a little bit more information, I've been in the travel industry effectively for 40 years. So I've been at the very heights, having run airlines and tour operators, and I've worked overseas and done everything within a travel company that you could physically do. And I do mean everything. There's not an area of the travel tour operating that I haven't done, or most of the travel industry, to be honest with you. And so that gives the listener an opportunity to understand that, you know, what I'm talking about comes from the heart, and it also comes from experience. So today's subject is adventure travel, and what's going on with adventure travel, and what actually is adventure travel. Well, adventure travel is a host of things to different people. Some people believe it is climbing up a mountain, going up Mount Everest or something like that. Other people, it is just a little bit more diverse from the original travel plan of a basic package holiday or something like that, you know, taking a little bit. And that would be called a soft adventure experience, as opposed to the other one being extreme or hard adventure. So that kind of gives you the breakdown of what adventure travel is. It's about taking yourself beyond a normal style of package travel. And here in the Pure One Group, we have adventure travel available as FIT, that's for independent travel, and also as group. So we have lots of group trips that are coming up for certainly for 2026 and beyond. And that ranges everything. So, for example, you could do an 8-day trip in Cambodia. You could go up the Himalayan summit experience, for example. You could go to Rwanda and see gorillas. You know, you can experience glamping in the Maldives. You know, beautiful. That's an adventure in itself because you're in a tent and also seeing other things. You could learn to surf in Taiwan on a particular tour and tour around. You could go and see gorillas and wildlife experiences in Rwanda, you know, involving elephants and everything as well. You could go to Tunisia and enjoy that, experience the Sahara as well. You know, you could have soul and island vibes in Barbados, for example, or you could perhaps visit the beautiful sand dunes in Oman. Or why not try a cycling tour through Jordan? These are the type of things that we're on about. But also, adventure exists in Europe as well. So we do things like an 8-day Istrian European trip. We go around Malta, for example. You know, all these type of things. So really, adventure covers a lot of things. It could be from surfing. It could be from fishing. It could be from trekking. It could be. You know, a whole different level of experience. And that is the beauty of the word adventure. It isn't just circled into one category. There are lots of subcategories within that. And I think it's an area of travel that is actually growing and an area that people really enjoy. They probably don't realize they do adventures quite often. And taken away from the standard beach holiday or the city break, you know, you can incorporate into the beach and the city break adventures as well, which is exciting stuff.
Cool. I have two adventures of my own, which I'd like to share, actually, which kind of a bit funny as well, actually. It wasn't quite the adventure that I had in mind. So when I was in Fuerteventura once, we had a bit of an adventure. And we went kind of hiking out into the middle of nowhere, and we had a bottle of water with us and stuff. And the wildlife there was great. There was lots of little meerkats and like to kind of meerkat type things. And yeah, and it was... It was
in Fuerteventura.
I think it was. Was it meerkats or
can't be meerkats? I might be wrong. Well, I didn't think there was meerkats in Fuerteventura. There might be. I don't know.
What were they called?
I'm going to check that out while you carry on waffling along. I'm going to
check that out. It's I forget the name. No, it wasn't meerkats. No, you're completely right. It was small creatures. Chipmunks, that's it. Chipmunks.
I'm going to interrupt you there. When I was living in Minnesota, we used to have chipmunks, and they used to come up. They're in the US, chipmunks are regarded as vermin.
Yeah,
like, to me, I think they're really cute. So yeah, I used to sit there feeding them off of my balcony, and I was getting told off by the people who owned the apartment complex that I lived. And they used to come and say, "Mr. Baker, you know, you're feeding the chipmunks. It's not good." And I said, "Well, I love them."
But this actually comes back onto where my predicament lied. So we went walking out
and chipmunks, Dan. That's embarrassing.
I know. Mean,
they're totally different in size for a start.
I know. It's because I was watching Lion King with my little boy the other day, and I just got meerkat stuck on my brain for some reason. But chipmunks, so there's these little chipmunks.
You could have got a lot of people booking packages to Fuerteventura for meerkats that weren't even there.
Yeah, so anybody listening, there are no meerkats, no wild meerkats in Fuerteventura, but there are wild chipmunks. So
we assume that. I mean, I've just checked. It didn't say there was any, but we assume that.
So as I was walking along, I saw this cute little chipmunk, which I thought was quite cool. And I went to stroke it and touch it, like you said, and came up in a massive rash.
No, I never said I stroked and touched it. Well, I fed them. There's a big difference between touching a wild animal.
Okay,
Lord.
But this is probably why it all went wrong then. So I did stroke it, my arm came up in a massive rash. So
rabies.
But there again, exactly, yeah, it could have been awful. But there again, I have seen captive chipmunks, and I've stroked and touched them and not had a rash. So
key there was captive.
Exactly. So I've come to the conclusion that I actually only have two allergies, and it's a bit awkward when I have to fill in a form and it says, "What's your allergies?" Because one of them is ibuprofen, and the other one is wild chipmunks, which so like I said, captive one's completely fine with.
So what does the drug do to you?
It basically gives me symptoms of meningitis. I swell,
Oh,
I can lose
headache.
my, I lose my sight, I start to not
Yeah.
hear, I feel dizzy, I get rash
Oh, wow.
everywhere.
And how much of a dosage does that? Just a small dosage, or?
Last time I had an episode was just one tablet. So
You realize you do not tell your colleague a weakness there, because I might just in one day insert something into your coffee.
Well, either that or I come walking into the office one day and there'd just be a wild chipmunk on my desk as well.
You know what? I'm like that. I'm a prankster. I can't
Yeah.
believe you actually told me
Yeah,
that.
so there we
Oh
go. Yeah,
dear.
wild chipmunks and ibuprofen are my two allergies. And then, yeah, when I first had it, my mum actually, I was very young, and she took me to the hospital and which to A&E and had that first stage of diagnosis, and they were convinced it was meningitis, and I got rushed through to the second stage. And then, yeah, it turned out that it was ibuprofen. But anyway, like I said, the
Yeah,
moral of the
did they
story.
do a jab in your back? Did they take a what's they call that when they do that? I can't remember what they call it, but I've had meningitis. I've had viral meningitis 3 times. Apparently, it's really rare to get it once, but I had it 3 times. I didn't have the bacterial version, which is lucky, but I was admitted 3 times hospital with meningitis, and they kept on lumbar puncture. That's it, lumbar puncture, and I had some scar tissue damage from lumbar puncture actually on the second time. It caused me a lot of back problems there. Anyway, we're moving on from travel here. We shouldn't be going into
Yes,
the medical
so
field.
the original thing, yeah, adventure in Fuerteventura, touch a wild chipmunk, came up in a rash. That's
Yeah,
basically the moral of
you
the
never
story.
touch
So
wild
don't
animals.
touch wild animals, no.
There
And
we
the
go.
second adventure, kind of predicament, embarrassing thing that happened to me is that I was in South Africa with my wife, and we were in Cape Town. We wanted to hike up to the top of Table Mountain, and at this point, I was going to the gym regularly. I was going to the gym 3-4 times a week. I used to work in London. I used to run around Regent's Park 10K run
Are you
every
saying that because I
Wednesday.
said that you put on a bit of weight? Is that why you're saying that now?
I call it fit.
Pre-recording, I
Well, I call it is festively plump is what I call
okay.
it. And
Okay.
but yeah, before COVID and before I became a
Festively
father,
plump. That's really good.
I was quite athletic. And so yeah, I was in my peak, going to the gym 3 to 5 times a week. I was running around Regent's Park for 10K every Wednesday lunchtime. Anyway, we got to South Africa, and my wife said she wasn't a big sports person. She wasn't really a big into the kind of cardio and things like that. So I said, "It's okay. We'll take it at your pace. We'll take it slowly as we're hiking up. If you want to stop at any point, because it's about a 3-hour hike, pretty much vertical up to the top of Table Mountain. If you want to stop at any point, we can." Like each kind of step was kind of like 3 foot, like properly climbing. And there was a few moments when I had to stop, and I was literally like in the Austin Powers moment, when he's sick as a dog and he's kind of looking down, and I felt dizzy, I felt sick, I was drinking my water, and I was just like, my wife was just like casually jogging around. She's like, "Oh, how the tables have turned." That was really embarrassing to start with. After I went in there with my macho, "I'll look after you, it's fine." I ended up being a massive burden to her on the way up. But then, more embarrassing than that, there was this elderly couple. They must have been in their 70s or 80s, with sticks. They went past us while I was having a rest and having a sit down. And probably about 20 minutes, an hour later, we were still only about 2/3 up, come walking back past us on the other way down, and literally just gave a little chuckle and a laugh, and then walked off, sniggering to themselves. So I went to the top, and I thought, right, I'm going to go down with my tail between my legs. And I got the cable car down with a lovely, nice, cold glass of Fanta, and that was
Oh,
it. So
dear.
my two adventures that I've had personally have not so much gone to plan.
I'm gonna snap and match you on that story, because I'm gonna tell you. Have I told you about the Mount Vesuvius story?
No, this sounds exciting.
Okay, yeah, it is. I had a when I was at junior school, I had a there was a girl in my class called Bridget. I won't say her surname in case she's listening. Chances are she isn't, but just in case. And she always went everywhere and did everything. And at that time, I hadn't even travelled overseas, so it was all a new thing for me. And she was always. She went on about Italy and Mount Vesuvius and Pompeii. And I remember thinking how wonderful it was, seeing the photographs that she brought in and everything else. I was jealous, obviously, probably. But I remember saying to her, "Well, I'll run up Mount Vesuvius one day." Like, and she stuck her tongue out, like the kids do, you're only 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever it was. Anyway, when I got married, and so this is back in 1995, we went on our honeymoon to Sorrento. Because that's something I'll talk about in a minute, actually, about honeymoons. So we went to Sorrento, and we went on a tour. We went up to Mount Vesuvius, and you stop at the bottom, and they give out sticks for walking up the mountain, up the volcano, and then you drag yourself up with a rope as well, and it's quite steep going up there. But I was young and athletic, far more athletic than I am now, and I used to be a sprinter and a runner anyway, so I had that in me. And I said to my wife at the time, I said, well, I've got to do something. She said, what's that? I said, I've got to run to the top. She said, are you crazy? I said, no, I'll see you at the top if you don't mind. She goes, okay. And so I literally ran up Mount Vesuvius, and as I'm going up, people are like grabbing hold of this rope, and I'm running quite comfortably up this mountain. Right? I'm getting near the top, and there was this whole load of German, elderly Germans going up there. And I just went past, and it's first thing in the morning. I said, good morning, good morning. I was just going past, and I'm looking at it, and I heard one of them say, crazy British man. And I literally ran up Mount Vesuvius. And that is my claim to fame, really, in this story, is that I ran from the bottom to the top of Mount Vesuvius. And I did that. And my wife came up and she says, you are crazy. And I was like, I didn't feel too bad, actually, from it, Dan, to be honest. I felt quite proud. So there's a photograph of me at the top. And the thing was, you've got to remember the time of the era, end of the 80s, early 90s, bright colours were in, the Dago colours were really bright. So I don't know when you were born, actually, Dan, but it might, you would have been quite young, I think, at this point. But I had a bright green, luminous shorts on. I must have looked right.
Yes. Stood out, definitely, that's for sure.
So I see this photograph of me standing at the top with my arm on one of these wooden sticks and just like smirking in these bright
What you need to do, so anybody listening now, do join our community. Go to purevacations.com, and at the very, very bottom, you'll see a tab called Our Community. Sign up to our community, join our community, and we'll see if Wesley can post that photo in our community for you to see. and then you can share your thoughts. But two very different mountaineering adventures there, Wesley. There's mine of, as I described, and yours, which seemed much more complimentary.
Do you hear it? The world is calling. From untouched beaches to the heartbeats of age-old cities, Pure Vacations is your gateway to authentic travel experiences. We don't just take you to destinations. We dive deep into their soul. With expert insights, local secrets, and mesmerizing tales. Our online travel blog is your compass to the world's wonders. Pure Vacations. Discover. Explore. Be inspired. Your journey begins here. Visit purevacations.com.
I'm going to say something, actually, because I covered it just very briefly, and I know this is not what this episode's about, but it's honeymoons and stuff like that. Now, I used to get people, you see people booking honeymoons, and they book up the Maldives, the Seychelles, the Caribbean, Caribbean, South America, Central America, places like this. And I always say to them, this is, do you really want to be on a plane for 10, 14 hours after you've got married? And the next day, because that's often when honeymoons happen, it's not always the case, but with us it was, and I think a lot of people still travel the next day or whatever, or that night. It's funny, I've come across a lot of people in my generation who actually had the sense to say, well, I don't want to be more on a plane than more than 2 to 3 hours, and that's really what you should do. So I would always, if there's any young listeners on here that haven't married yet or planning to get married and planning their honeymoon, I would say categorically look at shorter flights, look at destinations within 2 to 3 hours, because you'll have a far more enjoyable holiday when you get there and you're not exhausted and you're not worried about a long haul flight, and you can take a tropical holiday the next year or the next time you travel.
That's a great idea. You know,
there's so many beautiful places in Europe where you can go in Croatia, for example, in Greece, in Sardinia, that look like you're in the Caribbean or you know, and all these type of places, and exactly the same, but they're only a 2 hour flight, you know, hour flight. So, you know, that's something a lot of people don't realize. You know, I always said that I was going to have my honeymoon in Hawaii, but I didn't go to Hawaii primarily for two reasons. One, it was so far to go. It wasn't a cost aspect or anything like that. We had the budget, but it was also, my wife said that because I was a surfer of 40, well, surfer 49 years now, but because I was a surfer then and I was quite prolific, I'd surf nearly every day. She said, "I won't see you." And I said, "No, you won't. You literally won't see me." Because I would have been up first thing in the morning, Dan, surfing. If we went to Waikiki, I'd have been surfing in Waikiki Bay all the time. And if we'd gone anywhere else in the islands, I know all the surf spots. So I actually would have been surfing all the time. And so she was like, "We really want to go to, you know, we want to go to the Hawaiian Islands," but she won't go because she knows she does. She'll be a single holiday because I won't be around.
Well, I can't surf at all, but whenever I go on holiday with my wife, she often sits in the beach and I say, "I'm just going to pop for a quick swim." And I go in the sea and I swim up and down for hours upon end. And well, anybody that you can find pictures of me on the internet, obviously just Google Dan Pratt. But when I...
Oh, and the shorts. Dan Pratt has this thing. I have to tell people, listeners now, Dan likes to wear tights. tight
I don't
shorts.
Like to wear tights, by the way. That's
they're more, Dan wears hipster style shorts is all I can describe, and they're not and it's a thing. He loves doing it, and I love him for it because it's fantastic. But I just love your photographs, Dan, because your legs are always in.
It's always the same pose as well. I never know what to do with my arms. It's either on my hips or on the side.
I mean, is there a particular reason you go for those shorts, or is it just or has it become a thing? You actually just feel you love wearing those type of shorts?
It's just comfortable. Secondly, when I come out of the water, less material to dry, get a better tan, more sun on you.
Great. They remind me of shorts of the 80s.
Yes, like
I could literally Magnum take you to the 80s and you'd fit in.
Yeah, like Magnum PI or
exactly. That's exactly it.
So there we go. But as you'll see, like if anybody listeners do search that, obviously you'll see. When I say I love the water, I love swimming. So I have like the nickname of a sea creature, basically. But as you'll probably see from my physique, I'm not the most athletic person. So my friends came up with a nickname of me. I was expecting like dolphin or shark or something like that. However, most people call me manatee, which is
Have you ever seen a manatee?
Yeah, I met loads of them. They're lovely creatures.
Yeah. Have you ever swam with one?
No, it's on my list to do. I'd love to one day.
You can do that in Florida.
Yeah.
In some of the natural springs there in Florida. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in Florida doing, I was practically living out there really. Spent a lot of time with manatees and that. Wonderful. Anyway, back to what we're supposed to be talking about, Dan. Yes, adventure. So the beauty of adventure is just those things we're describing, all adventures, and they are soft adventures, really, unless you took them to the point of where you were actually going on volcanic holidays, which is something that we're Pure One are looking to do in the future, which is volcanic tours, where you'll go and actually experience and learn about the volcanoes in places and get to travel up them and experience them. So that would be more of an educational adventure, as opposed to our one day trips that we did running up and walking up these volcanoes. But again, swimming with manatees, that's an adventure. And that would be more of a day adventure. But again, it could become a holiday. So you could easily do swim with not just manatees, but other things as well. If I was putting together something for you now that involved manatees, then I would look at the springs in Florida and I'd also look at kayaking. Having a kayak adventure around there, a fishing experience there as well, and you know, really open up the rivers and the crystal clear waters in the center of Florida, really, which a lot of people don't see because they go to the Everglades for the maybe for the crocodiles, but genuinely they go to the east and the west coast. They go to the east coast for perhaps surfing or to enjoy Daytona Beach or Cocoa Beach or down to Fort Lauderdale or Miami and then round onto the Key Islands, or they go to the west side where they go to Tampa, St. Petersburg, they go down to Fort Myers and all around that area, and some beautiful islands around there. But there is so much to do in just the state of Florida. We don't do Florida as a company, but there is an awful lot to do in the state. And I think that is what adventure is about. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do as a company, or what the aim of what we're trying to build here, Dan, is as a company that will look at destinations and say, okay, what can we actually do for adventure in those places? So although at the moment we perhaps offer, you know, more of a standardized adventures out there, we are looking at doing specific group trips that will incorporate lots of different things. And so maybe Florida will become one of those adventures for us in 2026 or 2027. So we are looking at some US product at the moment. So.
Cool, that sounds amazing. And like I said, lots of different adventures there, to like from volcanoes to aquatic to lots. But if you do want to have a look at some of our actual excuse me, if
I
you
won't
do want,
excuse you, you coughed in the podcast. That's just not acceptable. I can see a tablet in your coffee tomorrow morning.
Yeah, ibuprofen tablet and a wild chipmunk on my desk.
Exactly.
But if you do want to check out any of our travel-specific packages, our adventures.
Chipmunk tours,
yes. So have a look at pureonetravel.com. That's our tour operator. And like I said, pureonetravel.com. And on there, you will see some of our adventure tours and things like that. But if you want more inspiration on adventure holidays, go to purevacations.com. There's thousands of articles on there to read. And like I said, if you sign up to our community, there's a tab at the bottom called Our Community. Sign up there and join the conversation, and we can chat there. So, yeah.
I really like them to actually sign up for, I really love them to join our new email newsletters, to be honest.
Yes.
Because I think that would be a really nice, because obviously we're going to send out lots of different ones, lots of different emails in the future, which will be just travel related, really.
So. Completely agree. So yeah, if you go to purevacations.com, you'll see a big blue button at the top that says subscribe newsletter, sign up to our newsletter, and you'll get lots of exciting travel news, travel insights, travel recommendations, all sorts of things. So yeah, it's definitely worth doing.
One thing I want to talk about as well, actually, is that the importance of using independent companies to travel with. There's quite a few big travel companies out there that say they do different type of things, but I think it's very important for the listener to look at a whole host of adventure travel companies, because often the small companies, a bit like Pure One, but also there are other brands as well out there that offer great holidays. And I think although the travel agencies are coming back into the high street now, which is a wonderful thing, I'm really pleased with that. The brochures aren't necessarily coming back as they were. I think a lot of people don't really understand that there's a lot of small independent travel companies out there in the niches. And really, I'd advise them to look at those companies, because those companies try to look after you a little bit better than the bigger companies. And they try hard to, you know, to offer something different and a more exciting experience.
Cool. Well, that's fantastic. And like I said, over this podcast series as well, we're going to be looking at lots of different areas. So obviously today was all around adventure. Then in the next episode, we're going to be looking at many, many other categories as well. So I think the next is going to be pathways, which is historical and culture trips. So do tune into that. And yeah, if you could subscribe to this podcast, we would really appreciate it, so that you won't miss an episode. And like I said, we've got many, many episodes coming up, all different topics. Hopefully we'll entertain you and you'll have a laugh as well. And but yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you all today. Any final words from yourself, Wesley?
No, just that our podcast will get better as they go along. we've got lots of guests lined up for the future, which will be fantastic, and I'm looking forward to that. Lots of people in the industry that I know that I'm bringing on board that are going to come in, some quite high powerful people as well. But just talking about stuff that, you know, we don't as a company even do, which is good. And so this isn't a brand, this isn't about branding our company. Okay, we might refer to our company a lot, we might mention it, but we're really not trying to do a hard sell on you. We're trying to build a nice podcast that people can enjoy, and just talking all things travel, really, and that's what this is about.
Completely agree. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to this. And if you have, then we hope to see you on the next episode. So as always, we wouldn't be here without you. So we really appreciate you taking the time to listen. It's very kind of you indeed. And yeah, hope you have a lovely rest of your day. Have a lovely rest of the week. And we can't wait to speak to you again soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
As the sun sets on another journey, we fold our maps, pack our memories, and get ready for the next adventure. Every voyage may come to an end, but the stories, they linger, resonating in our hearts. Remember, every destination is a doorway to a new experience, a new story. Keep exploring and keep dreaming. This has been Pure Vacations with your hosts, Wesley Baker and Dan Pratt. Until next time, let your heart wander and your feet will follow.